You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
A kick to Grimes. He'll try a three, and this time he buries it. Ask and you shall receive. How about a Diedrich Lawson three? Right on cue, he drills it from the top. Diedrich Lawson, a transition three. Diedrich goes around his man right over Green and schools him again. Lawson's got 21.
Just abused Green right there.
And Kermit the Frog was right when he said it's not easy being Green. You can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win it. Their 13th consecutive day one win in the NCAA tournament.
Barry's been as good a leader as anyone I've been with in my 40 years. Camp Stokes is that the little guy that keeps trucking along, dealing with all the things he's had to do. And Xavier Sneed, you know, Mac, the whole group, just a fun group to coach. And hopefully they're up to the challenge tomorrow.
And now, as conflicted about Scott Drew as a person can be, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us. Yep, tournament's over. Let's talk about baseball. No need. Just nothing to see here.
At one point I saw last night, of the first 45 shots taken in that game, 35 were behind the arc.
Chucking and ducking, baby.
That was crazy.
Chucking and ducking. But it is March Madness and all its glory.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's...
It provided what it generally provides on Thursday. So maybe some upsets, a crazy finish. Auburn and New Mexico State that was... You literally had to watch a couple of times before you figured out what exactly had happened, or could actually completely digest what the hell was that last 10 seconds. Some blowouts.
Yep.
Some games that played out kind of how you thought. It's 16 games. There's going to be a wide variety, and the day one never disappoints, and it certainly didn't
yesterday. I disagree. I think it disappointed yesterday.
Overall?
You thought we had tons of great games?
No, I thought there was a good sprinkling. The evening session did not offer up much drama, but I think the
what do we get in the daytime besides Auburn and New Mexico State?
It's a lot of close games.
Did we? Did I miss them?
Seem that way.
Kansas.
I was entertained through the morning session and then the evening session. I sat around with a friend and tried to watch games, and I'm like, I can't find one game that I really want to watch.
Yeah.
Because there weren't any compelling matchups other than Syracuse-Baylor, and that was two teams that are kind of in the middle. The problem with the first round is that if you get teams that are closely matched, they're not great teams.
I guess maybe, you know, this is your great game versus great ending deal. You know, Florida State and Vermont were tight for most of the game, but Florida State pulled away at the end.
Yeah.
Yale made a run at LSU, but never really had a shot at winning it.
Michigan State having to survive. I thought they're going to go down. They're going to lose 2-15
last 2
again.
Minutes. Last 2 minutes though, that game was done. I mean, so I guess we had games that were looking competitive, but Wofford rolled. Florida was in control against Nevada the whole way.
Villanova had to fight it out with St. Mary's. Maryland Belmont was, I thought, an interesting game down to the wire.
Murray State blew out Marquette. Maryland Belmont was one of the good ones. I was probably forgetting that one because it was earlier in the day. It was one of the good ones. But overall, listen, it's great. I love the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying, it sucks. There's no reason to watch this anymore. Crap. No, not at all. I'm just like, it's not like the Bryce Drew three to win it.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that. Maybe that's what it is, the buzzer beaters. You know, all of those things that go with it.
Right. That's true.
But it's the tournament.
Bryce Drew did not have as good a tournament this year as he did in whatever year was he at 97 or whatever was he?
You think?
Yeah.
I would.
March is not going to be on his. Remember 2019? What a great month that was for me.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive when you can have like a top 15 recruiting class and be fired the next year.
Yeah.
How do you enjoy your rock and roll lifestyle?
Hard to defend Ofer. No matter what direction you think the program's going.
I mean, so do you think I had him, going. Did I have him too high at like 10th on my coaching list?
Dude, you got to win one.
I mean,
I know things didn't go well, but you got to win one.
Yeah. Well, how's your bracket look? How many you got right? Have you tallied up the damage yet? You're the one who's always bragging about how you do on the first day, right? Did you? I have already lost one Sweet 16. That was Belmont. Thanks for coming, Belmont. I appreciated it. Looked really good the way you were making things go there. I had Murray State, so I feel good about that. Florida State surviving. I'm 11-5 on the opening day. What are you cooking?
Not very good.
Really? Jed, how are you looking?
I'm just now doing the tallying, but I think I'm doing. I think the only team I lost was Vermont.
12-4, not as bad as I thought. 12-4.
Really? I was a bloodbath. I was losing everything to start. I picked up momentum later, and I meant to go in, and I'm not going to do it. I meant to go in and change on our bracket, Baylor, when Frank Howard was ruled out, and I just never got around to doing it. Mm. When that came out Wednesday night, I'm like, oh, we're not winning without Frank Howard. Who, you look at his numbers, it ain't because of his 360-something, 380-something shooting percentage.
No.
It's because he controls the ball and he's a long guard up at the top. But, yeah, that one really crushed us. So I had no aspirations of making any kind of run this year, so I really didn't even mind. I was kind of numb to watching Baylor win. And it didn't bother me really that much because I'm like, we're not going anywhere. St. Mary's bothered me. That's one that I thought I could really carry the day. My losses, I'm going to go ahead and put Syracuse down as a loss. I knew it was coming, but I had it, didn't get it changed on there, so that's a loss. Belmont, Yale, Louisville, and St. Mary's are down. My only one I had going into the Sweet 16 was Belmont. That's how my bracket looks, and I know everybody's interested. Everybody wants to know how your bracket's going, so make sure you tell everyone the moment you see them how your bracket is.
And then your fantasy team. I lost Yale, Louisville.
And then tell them about the bad beat you had in poker, too, because those are all things that everybody really wants to know.
I lost Yale, Louisville, Syracuse, and Nevada. I was bad on the left side, 6-0 on the right side.
All right. Jed?
Haven't completed the tallying. Doing different things back here.
Give your sheet to the intern. Tell him to bring it in here. I'll figure it out. I'll figure out where you are. Tally it up.
You should know that math isn't my strong suit. I have to try and do the feud each week, and you know what a disaster that is.
That is a rough go of it. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Let's see. We'll get a look at what Jed is. Let's talk about the local squad. K-State's coming up today. KU played yesterday in the exact game that all the national pundits expected.
Yeah.
KU by 34. I think it's what they were all looking at, wasn't it?
For the most part. You know, it looked like it was a close game for a bit. It was stretched out to 12, but, you know, Northeastern comes out and gets a couple quick buckets, a little 5-0 run at the outset of the second half, and Bill Self calls timeout at 37-30, and they just went on a nice little 18-2 run, kind of went, we'll see you guys.
So I think the question is this the real Kansas team? That's what Jayhawk fans want to believe. Auburn barely survives against the New Mexico State team that won the WAC, has not given a lot of credit, even though they won 30 games. Not given a lot of credit. And after the game, you know, Auburn did everything they could to lose it. New Mexico State did everything they could to lose it. Somebody had to lose it. Finally, New Mexico State did.
New Mexico State said, hold my beer.
Just in an exhibition of how not to play the game of basketball. The thing that I think is of note is that Auburn is now favored against Kansas. Like, you watch those two games, the national public perception is Kansas has got, they're ready to beat Kansas. And Auburn stinks. And yet Vegas has Auburn favored. Why? Kansas is the higher seed.
Yeah, they are.
Right? It's Auburn minus one, isn't it?
Yep. I saw Auburn minus one last night. Jed said, I think he saw minus two today. That's possible.
I'm looking. I'll check another site.
Yeah. I other than, I think they're just judging. I don't think they're judging the to two games the teams played yesterday.
Well, clearly.
Judging the two teams. And it went, okay, things happen. Auburn was mostly in control of that game till the very end. Kansas, I mean, walked away, but maybe they're looking at saying, well, you know, when the game gets kind of blowout proportion, anything beyond 15 and you go, okay, that's 35 is no different than beating a team by 20 or 15 or whatever. And you just, things fall apart at the end of an NCAA tournament game. So let's look at that as just a win over a team that looked maybe a little outclassed. Now let's look at the two teams individually, and Auburn's better.
I think that's what it, I mean. The perception is that Kansas is playing well, but that's a perception based on one game. But that's how people look at things. Is the NCAA tournament's more important than anything? And so, if you have a big NCAA tournament win, then you immediately look at it and say, "Okay, this is where it all matters. This is what counts. All that other stuff doesn't matter." Now we're in the tournament, and they're playing their NCAA tournament basketball. You know, I don't. That's not how it works, though. And therefore, Kansas played a great game against Northeastern, a team that a lot of people thought could cause them fits because they play like Iowa State. Well, these guys aren't the Iowa State players.
No.
Playing four guards doesn't equal victory just because you put four short guys out there.
They got off a lot of threes, and almost none of them dropped.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, to me, everybody grossly overreacts. So we had an overreaction yesterday. I was talking to friends I have that are out in Vegas, and they said everybody was betting Northeastern. Everybody was on Northeastern. I'm like, well, are you on Kansas? He said, yep, absolutely. Now everybody is going to be betting Kansas. Right? The weekend full of people that are out there to drink and have a good time. That's not the professional gambling crew that's out there. They got a lot of soft money out there. And I think they know they're going to get pounded on the Kansas side. Yet, they're still giving points to them. They feel pretty strong on Auburn. That doesn't mean Auburn's going to win.
Right.
Just means to me, Vegas, I think there's got to be a point or two of line value there leaning towards Kansas. In other words, I think the spread probably should be a little higher. You know, Auburn was the team that was the darling, right? Red hot, rolling through the SEC. Oh, now that doesn't matter anymore. No, it matters. They had a bad day and still found a way to get by New Mexico State. Executed so poorly, fouling with, what was it, 16 seconds left?
Yeah.
Put the guy on the free throw line?
Was at the end the three free throws? That was with
the stupidity began fouling with 16, or like 40, it was 14 seconds. Because I think I read the lips of Bruce Pearl who said, I said foul was 6 seconds. 6 seconds. He's up there at 14. You're extending the game for him. You just gave him a gift. Good. Now let's change possessions. 2 points without the clock moving. They'll foul us. We got to go shoot again. They extended the game themselves.
That really was an exchange of hold my beer.
It was.
It was like, well, I'm going to pass up a game-tying layup for a three. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to foul your three-point guy. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to miss two of the three free throws. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to get the rebound. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to airball the three-pointer in the corner. Well, when the game's over. I can't. You win. I lose.
When I only need two to tie. I'm going to take a three where I might have been out of bounds when I took off.
Yeah.
That's how far out he was.
That whole last
five seconds is that the play you get down two? We're trying to win it right there. Well, you gave up a layup, too. Yeah. Well, you didn't even mention that one.
Yeah.
A layup, too. To kick it for the three.
That's what I said. I'm gonna bypass an easy layup to go for three. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to foul your guy. Did you hear the explanation? I think he's covering for his player. The coach, I can't think of the coach's name for New Mexico State, said that, if he hits that shot, he has a nice Ali Farouk-Manesh moment, and no one thinks about that. I'm like, except for Ali Farouk-Manesh's team was up one. Yes, it was considered a questionable decision, up one with nobody back on defense to fire a three-pointer with 30 seconds left in the shot clock. But he didn't have to hit that shot to survive. You had to score there to survive, and he passed up an easy layup for a three. I mean, it was again, he's probably backing his guy, but no. that's a bad comparison.
And then upon further review, the guy next to the guy shooting the three free throws is given the choke.
I'm telling you.
And it continued because then Bruce Pearl's like, hey, you seem to be doing the choke sign. Well, You know, we knew they struggled to shoot free throws, so I could tell he was really scared.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And Pearl laughs it up, sitting right next to him.
The last 60 seconds of that game needs to go in a time capsule for all to enjoy.
I mean, that was like the worst execution of Endgame you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was...
The best is the... So this is... I do want to point out, because everybody talks about whether you foul or not foul when you're up three, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Auburn was. And when you have the strategy that you're going to foul, that's a whole nother layer of thinking your players have to do. Some players can't think. Yes. It's why you practice something, you drill it into them time and time again, but how often do you face the up three, because it's exactly three and three only that you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Josh Smith on the Cavs, and who knows what you might do.
Right, right.
What are you doing? But the only time that comes about, so you talk about it, but your kids don't go through that 10 times in a season.
No.
It might come up, what, once, twice, all year?
Yeah.
And then so here you are in the three, and you give it to them in the huddle. All right, remember, we're going to foul. They get the ball. We're up three. We're going to foul with 6 seconds. Okay, foul him.
Tweet.
That's what he heard.
Foul.
Okay, foul him. Up three, foul him. And he goes out there and blows it. I mean, listen.
He goes all Abner Haynes.
Coaches are not screaming and yelling. Tom Izzo almost had to be, taken off the floor for going after the one kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out of hand. You had players and other coaches grabbing Tom Izzo to keep him from yelling. And I forget which kid it was, a freshman kid,
yeah.
Number 11, I think, going just ballistic at the kid. Well, he's not doing that because the kid's listening. Now, he said it's about effort and holding people accountable. Right?
Henry,
yeah.
That's Henry.
Which, by the way, I do love how some people are celebrating Tom Izzo. And Tom Izzo made a great point. He said, and this is one of the things I think is interesting that always seems to be a dividing line, that you can't figure out where it is, right? Okay? Tom Izzo was holding his player accountable. Are we all good with that?
Sure.
Tom Izzo said, I hope in your job, as he was chastising the reporter, because any tough question is one that has somehow insulted a coach and therefore deserves anger at the reporter for asking it, said, well, I would hope I hope at your job you're held accountable for what you write and that there are ramifications if you don't. Listen, in some ways, this country could use a lot more of Tom Izzo accountability, right?
Sure.
Hold some people accountable,
absolutely.
And if you're not, go get after them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how it works a lot of times. Well, you can't get upset. You can't want to win. You can't want to succeed. You know, somebody makes a mistake, we just tolerate it. We let them keep making it time and time again. Time and time again, we just let them keep making the same mistakes. And nobody ever holds them accountable. And if you do, you're the bad guy. Well, what are you doing raising your voice? Well, that guy's a dumbass who's done the same thing for 20 years. So why don't you correct it? No, you can't. You can't. No, we just look the other way and move on. Where's the line? There's a line, right? I don't think everybody wants every superior looking like, was it Emory Army? What's the Army Emmy? What was the guy's name? The drill sergeant and
Arlie Ermey.
Arlie Ermey, the drill sergeant and Full Metal Jacket. Why are you not? Like, I don't think everybody wants to come to work with that kind of stress and pressure.
Right.
We accept it at a military level. Well, these guys' lives are on the line. So whatever it takes to deliver the message is acceptable because they're going to have weapons in their hands. And other people with weapons are going to fire them at them. So that is deemed acceptable. It's acceptable because it's what? We think it works? Somewhere it has to get softened everywhere down there. We're okay with coaches blistering guys on national TV to a point. But then, Tom Izzo, step to him. You can't step to him. I mean, you can MF him up and down all you want, but don't step to him. He pointed at him. Oh, shut up. You've been fine and acknowledged and celebrated the coaches that yell and scream for years. And now, oh, you went too far. There's a line somewhere. I definitely think there's a line. You shouldn't be able to punch the kid, right? But where is that line? It floats. It's different. It's different for everybody. There's some people that are outraged by Tom Izzo's behavior. There's some people that'll tell you, we need a lot more of that. Accountability. I totally agree with the message he was sending.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability. Well, how do you make people accountable? You know? That's in college basketball, you shout at them and then send them back out there. Or don't play them.
Yeah.
But to me, that was the moment of the night. Was Tom Izzo losing his mind? You know, here's a Hall of Fame basketball coach just going after a kid and having to be held back while being, you know, maybe upset by Bradley. I thought that, to me, was what I'll take away from day one of the tournament. I thought it was great.
And they fought their
way out of
it. I
don't know how I got to that. I had that on my list of to-dos, but I don't know how I got from KU to that, but here we sit.
And they fought their way out of a disaster almost of their own making, where they basically just almost threw away a seven-point lead, did throw away a seven-point lead, and got down by one. At some point, they finally found their footing. Did that play a part in them getting their head into the game? Well, maybe it did. You could argue that was one of the key moments, yeah. Possibly.
So they finished, you know, finished strong and walked away and won by double digits. Yep. So right. It was 10 when it was all said and done. I think
it was.
It was 8 or 9. I know it got to 10, I think. But
yeah, 76-65.
And today, more exciting games. By the way, Jed, 14-2.
Nice.
Yep. Good, man.
But the perfect bracket is no more.
I'll take 14-2. It's all right. It's all Sean's fault.
Vermont, he had you believing in Vermont.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't believe in Vermont. Nevada was the other one that got you. Those are the only two that Jed missed yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, no. 13-3. Here's Seton Hall. Didn't believe in the Terriers, Bulldogs. What are they? Some kind of mutt.
Yeah, Wofford Terriers.
Terriers. There you go.
I was partial to Seton Hall. My sister and her husband just took their kiddos to New York City, and they stayed in the same hotel with the Seton Hall guys during the Big East tournament or whatever they're in.
So that was a one-point game late, and then Wofford went 3-3-3.
Which is what Wofford does.
Yeah, and that was it. Got to 10. It was like, well, that did it.
I think you can see the new style of the way people are going to play basketball, though. The three ain't going anywhere. Everybody's going Warriors style. KU, two bigs, don't shoot so good.
Well, they're going to see the most prolific three-point team in the country tomorrow night.
I mean, I think it's something of note.
So the three-point, the perimeter defense will be heavy in the drills today, I would imagine. Because Northeastern got off 28 shots. They just didn't connect. Yeah. I don't think if Auburn shoots 28 threes, I bet they hit more than six.
Yeah. But that's where it's going. I do think it's interesting, and I'll pose a question. As Bill Self, you in recruiting, you don't just get to pick guys off the shelf. They got to have an interest in you. But does he need to be embracing the four-guard approach more? Or is the double post the way you need to do it? Now, he has guys like Marcus Garrett that don't shoot well. Grimes is a shooter, but he's not shooting well now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of a different-looking squad.
Yeah.
But I do think it's something that Bill Self and his staff need to sit and look and say, all right, do we need to? I know I've said this before, forget about all his shenanigans off the court, but Rick Pitino has a type of player he sends his coaches out to get. He goes, all right, what we need in this class is I need a guy who can do this. I need a guy who can do this. I need a guy that's this big that can do this.
Yeah.
And Bill Self, I think sometimes, and maybe he does. I've never heard him say that, but you know, I think he could be like, okay, I know we're in it for all these bigs, but we need more guys that can really let it go.
Yeah.
So let's get out there on the guards, even if we got to come down a few notches on the rankings.
Yeah, and it's clear that's the trend, and people try to emulate what the best team is. People want to get to the league, so I mean, these kids are sitting shooting. I would imagine that Bill Self would be able to go out and acquire as good a shooter as he could have acquired post players. I mean, if teams like Wofford and those teams can find guys who can shoot, I'm sure Bill Self can find them if he deems that's the switch that needs to be made in his approach, and he decides to do that. I'd imagine you're going to see a lot of really good shooters in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah. Listen, K.J. Lawson plays well when they bring him in there in the mop-up roles. You could look at him and say, okay, he could, you know, still have some length while playing perimeter-style basketball and put him in there. McCormick, you know, had his three games and looked like, there it is, there's the double post, and he has now completely disappeared.
Yeah. Didn't even attempt a field goal yesterday, but
that's
did get five boards.
That's the flawed nature of this team. I mean, he usually has more upperclassmen than a lot of the top teams in college basketball. And so Agbaji has a nice day. And listen, not all, you know, seven guys aren't all going to click.
Right.
I mean, again, 87-53 against a team that people thought they could beat.
Right.
I mean, they've got enough different spots to go to find where they can potentially get offense. But, you know, I think it's of note that they're still a work in progress. And every win that Bill Self gets, particularly that one being that big, and I think it is, I'll finish up with where we started, Auburn being favored, they're favored for a reason. And I think that needs to be understood. So if they, just because they rolled Northeastern, if Auburn beats them in a tough, hard-fought game, Bill Self didn't spit the bit. He didn't wet his pants. It didn't fall apart. It wasn't a choke job.
Right.
Auburn's good. They're favored in the game.
Yeah.
Okay? KU was great against Northeastern. They're now going up against a team that right now Vegas says is better than them. So if they win, Bill Self deserves some credit.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's we've talked about it. When you're a one seed all the time, you're supposed to beat everybody because you're the one seed.
There's no upside.
There is upside in this, even though he's the four and Auburn's the five. And even though Auburn played awful to finish the game, there is still a reason to be impressed if Kansas gets the win against Auburn. Take your calls about the tournament, 913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. I'd love to hear from some K-State fans where their confidence level is on this basketball team coming up at 1 o'clock today. They will take the court, and is there confidence that they're going to be moving on? I hear K-State fans just kind of being like, we'll see. I haven't really heard the K-State fan that's like, no, I got no problem with what we got. We're rolling. We're going to make it happen. Look out. Here we come. Cats are in town. San Jose. We're going to have a big purple party coming up on Sunday. Get ready. I'd be interested to hear from you if you're that confident. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The program. Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You gotta wait for the wah.
Oh yeah, it's the best.
You can't just come in talking and then have the wah go off behind you. You gotta wait. You gotta wait
to release
one, maybe the greatest video of all time, in my opinion.
That is so good.
Sabotage video, outstanding. Because I haven't seen a video in 20 years, so
yeah.
Maybe there's been a few good ones come along since, but
that's a great one.
That one was fantastic. It is the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Petro, Seabolt, Jed running the operation as we'll get to John Kurtz from KMAN in Manhattan, sports director. Talk K-State basketball with him at 11 o'clock, setting the scene for you for what's to come in the NCAA tournament. Two-minute drill at noon. Jesse Newell reacting to the beatdown of Northeastern and looking ahead to Auburn. And then we'll wrap it up. Peter Yates-Enick joins us for a little Stump the Chumps. Our buddy, our pal, our partner, Peter Yates here. He brings with him Jazz. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. And you will have the opportunity to leave with it if you can stump the chumps. It's as simple as that. Curtis, you had an interesting stat that you put out there. Nay. You had a stat that you put out there to troll Kansas fans. What was it?
Yeah, I live to troll Kansas fans. I said it was
ninth. Looking at your Twitter, it seems that there are many who think that is the case.
I may not be trolling, but you certainly got a hook in your mouth somehow. but you put that hook in by yourself, buddy. If you think that's trolling,
is that me?
No, anyone who thinks I was trolling.
You were accused of trolling Kansas fans.
Self-imposed. I said it was the ninth time that Kansas won an NCAA tournament game by at least 30 points. I thought, let me just look and see what the last ones were. And just looking at the eight, I noticed offhand that four of the eight were, in four of the eight cases, they lost their next game. And two of those were as a one seed. 1992, they beat Howard, then lost to UTEP. 98, they beat Prairie View A&M by 58, then lost to Rhode Island. 03, they beat Marquette by 30-plus, then lost to some team in the orange. And then 2017, beat Purdue by 33, then lost to Oregon. I thought it was of note. And
It is of note, because what when you see a team roll somebody by 30, you're like, that's a good team, and they're playing really well. So exactly. I expect them to be better than 500 on the other side. I saw one of your responses was, well, game, one team wins, so 50-50, it's exactly what you'd expect. Well, it's not.
Yeah, they're not coin flips.
If it's two teams that we've never heard of and they're playing, yes, we expect 50-50, but having a working knowledge at one, and it's not just that a team, random team.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kansas,
yeah,
who does really well in the NCAA tournament. After a Kansas team has won by 30, you would think that, oh, these are their better teams that are steamrolling. They crushed somebody in the first round en route to going to the 0-2 Final Four, en route to going to the 0-3 Final Four. And it turns out that, no, the 30-point win seems to be as much a product of the opposition.
Could be.
Or coincidence.
Yeah, just maybe it's just random chance. And the three of those four were as a one seed, and two of the four were as a one against an 8-9. So I just thought it was interesting. I was like, wow, I would have thought it'd be 6-2, maybe even 7-1. That it was 4-4, I thought was notable. So I put it out there. And of course, before the times they won. So I'm like, it's just a stat. I'm just putting it out there, people. If it's interesting, I'm going to put it out there. So I don't think, and I didn't put it out there as a predictive factor at all. Just noteworthy. I think they're going to win tomorrow night. I wouldn't put it out there if I thought it was, like, you're just trying to find a stat that makes Kansas look bad. Devalue the win. What? Has anyone paid attention to me the last 23 years I've been doing this? Do I seem like a guy who just tries to devalue Kansas basketball? I don't understand that.
By the way, on the other side of the glass, Jed is just sitting there nodding.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. You do.
Yep.
You do.
Why do you hate Kansas, Curtis?
Yes, all my Kansas friends respond with, why do you hate Kansas? And it's obviously tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, but the problem is,
I root against them in every game.
Like Rob, Fast Talking Rob is one of the guys. What was his?
He tweeted back.
Question?
I have a question, because I had stated that here's the deal. I'm going to continue to post stats and historical facts that I find interesting. Sometimes they'll be negative. If you have a legitimate question, I'll try to answer it, but I'm done explaining myself to people who can't cope. And Rob says, I have a question. Why do you suck? And a follow-up. Why do you suck so much? To which I respond, I miss Fast Talking Rob. It's fun. He's funny.
But people see that, and they don't know that that's your friend. And so like, yeah, let's get him.
Let's get
him. Here's some Kansas fans that are on him. I'm with them.
I also got a lot of, how many games? What's Missouri's record when they win in the NCAA tournament by 30? LOL. They've never won by 30. Wasn't the point. I could put out 15 consecutive great stats about Kansas. The very first time I put out something negative, someone's going to go, Missouri! I know. We suck. Compared to Kansas. That's not the point. If your throwback is Missouri, that's a low bar. You should be aiming higher. Aim higher. You're Kansas. Aim to be better than Missouri historically, please.
Don't make that your justification.
Yes. You could be anybody in the big, you know, you could be any number of 50 schools and be better in the NCAA tournament than Missouri. Be better, as Melania says. Be better. What it is.
I don't
think
know.
It's be better.
You think I follow politics?
Here it comes. Are you making fun of Trump?
I thought you were quoting a Trump.
Why are you a Trump? Why are you a Trump troll? That's coming.
So would you like to announce your departure from Twitter today?
No.
Okay.
I will not.
Just want to check.
I can handle it.
Just want to check.
Well, Danny, Duffy can handle it. That's not my point.
Right,
there. It's like,
right,
I don't mind. Yeah. I kind of like the back and forth. Someone just tweets me, why do you hate Kansas? Smiley face.
Of course they do. Jeff, you're in the program. What's going on, Jeff?
Not much. Just waiting for the game.
Yeah, I know. I know. Isn't that the worst part?
Mm. It is.
Sitting around waiting. Thank God you at least go at 1 and don't have to wait till nighttime. And hopefully you don't take a beating at the hands of the Baylor Bears like I got to enjoy last night.
Unfortunate. Syracuse, yeah. Okay, so you're looking for a K-State fan. We usually don't like to put the cart in front of the horse here, but I've really looked at UC Irvine, and I will give them all the credit in the world for beating UC Riverside, Cal State Fullerton, and Cal Poly, which those teams, I think, have a combined record of 32-62.
Okay.
And I like their stats built up in that conference, but I also I got to look at how they did at Pacific Toledo and Utah State, where mm-hmm. they lost by a combined of 40 points, 24 to Utah State. And harking back to what everybody was thinking about KU getting rolled by Northeastern because they couldn't stop the three-point shot, I kind of look at this game the same way. I mean, we just play in a much tougher conference. I think when you get the athletes out there, and like when I watched the KU game in the first 15 minutes of that game, you could just tell that the athletes on the KU squad were just much superior to Northeastern.
Yes.
I think you're going to see the same thing. They're both – UCI and K-State are both great defensive teams. One of those is going to be much better than the other. I think it's going to be K-State.
So I, one of the things I said about the KU and K-State games that I thought were interesting is because for our local teams, looking at it from the local perspective, it's the same matchups just going the other direction. Right, KU plays the two bigs, and they were supposed to be worried, and how are they going to handle guarding the four-guard lineup of Northeastern, because that's how Iowa State plays. So, boy, this is a bad matchup for the Jayhawks. And in reality, it came down to the caliber of talent on Kansas is better, and so they had no problem. They did play a little more four guards, which is one of the things people forget, is they have guards that they can play. And it turns out when they do play, they're good. Flip it around, we've got the same thing. This one is supposed to be, well, the two bigs for UC Irvine. How is K-State's four-guard lineup going to handle it without Dean Wade? And I think you hit upon it. I mean, I think the answer at the end of the day should be that K-State players are more talented. And because they're more talented, they get the better of it, regardless of what it is. I mean, the big is going to have to guard Xavier Sneed. And that's not an easy assignment. I mean, he's a tremendously gifted wing that brings it most of the time. He usually brings it on defense, and he can defend. And you know what? Athletically, he might be the superior athlete to their kid. I forget the freshman 6'8" kid that plays for UC Irvine. But you know, he's more athletically gifted than that kid, and he may have absolutely no problem whatsoever guarding that kid. And you're right. The one thing we talked about, and it's what makes Gonzaga so difficult to try to get your arms around this time of year, is you're looking at guys that you're looking at teams, and you're quantifying teams with metrics that are not playing the same caliber of opposition. We've spent years talking about the Shaka Smarts of the world that look like the darlings because they win a couple of NCAA tournament games against big boys. Then they're thrown into where they got to play big boys week in, week out. And it's a different story. We've talked about it with football coaches. You know, the Boise coaches that have come and gone until Chris Peters seems to be the real deal at Washington. But so many of those Boise coaches from the Big 12, what the hell was that guy's name at Colorado? Dan Hawkins hasn't done anything. And even Gonzaga coaches. Mark Fox got fired. He was one of the Gonzaga coaches, right? If I'm not mistaken. Or he came from Nevada. Mm. Anyway, my point being, you know, the mid-major guys are great in their conference and their league. They pull an upset in a single elimination and they're celebrated, or even two, and they're celebrated as being geniuses. And in reality, the big boys generally play at a higher level. And so, yeah, the upsets get all kinds of attention, but for the most part, the big boys win. And I think K-State's going to win this game as well. I think their talent's better. I think they play well together. I think they're confident. I think they're resilient. They've been down big in a game and come back to West Virginia earlier in the year. They're not going to panic if they get down 6 or 8 points in the first half. I'm with you. I have confidence in K-State.
Well, I'll give you just four things. I'll get off the line here.
Okay.
I've been saying all year, we need to shoot 40% or better, turn the ball over less than 12 times, play defense, and in this particular case, if Moween can catch the ball and dunk it on the baseline, we're going to be okay.
Jeff, that's the K-State breakdown of the year, my friend. I love it. Nice work.
If he can catch the ball. He's got no problem dunking the ball.
He put the catching. Yeah. You can't dunk it without the catching. So he had it in the right order.
He does. There's once or twice a game, you're just like, what?
Yeah. Tim, you're in the program. What's up, Tim?
Hey, buddy. I just want to talk a little tournament ball with you.
Is it
fixed? Normally do that.
That's what we want to know first. Is the tournament fixed?
No. These are college kids, man. Come on. Okay. I mean, you know, KU wins often enough, so it can't be fixed.
You couldn't buy college kids with money.
Syracuse lost. It can't be fixed. Anyway.
There's never been a scandal in college basketball of any kind.
Oh, no. Never. Yeah, right. But, no, I think they're all good. I'm starting to like the college game a lot better on a lot of fronts. But anyway, nice win by KU. I think the best thing said was, is it Dedrick Lawson? Is that the guy, a kid that put up 25 yesterday?
Yes, it is.
Said the coaches told us to go out and have fun. And that's good to hear. So they can, you know, kind of relax, take it easy, you know. Are they starting five freshmen?
Four.
It's almost the Fab Five from Michigan, isn't it? Well, maybe not quite that talented, but, you know, still kind of the same boat there. So, yeah, I think they get by Auburn today. I mean, tomorrow, why not? And I think K-State probably rolls into the Sweet 16 as well. I can see both schools do that. And if KU wins both games, they come here and likely get, what, Kentucky and Carolina? There's no tradition there, is there? So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'll have a couple of days off next week to watch it real closer. So,
well, I'll tell you what, we'll be down, and thank you for the call, Tim. I appreciate it. We'll be down for the Sweet 16 with our at the P&L, and I think it's got a chance to be an incredible ticket. Now, PJ Washington or PJ,
yeah,
PJ Washington, Kentucky being out may make it a little bit tougher for them to get there, but. It will be one of the toughest tickets. I kid you not. I mean, I talk about it in the commercial for Tickets for Less, but it's going to be, if you get Kansas alone, it's a difficult ticket. Kentucky people will pay whatever it takes. Iowa State people will pay whatever it takes. Carolina is the one that I think won't be represented. I'm hoping we get that bracket. We get those four, because that will make Kansas City just electric. You will have fans. Oh, the P&L will be packed with fan bases because they will come and they will assume that they're going to get tickets, and there won't be tickets for everybody, and it will be an absolute bonkers fest of basketball there. It I think will be absolutely great. 913-3810-810, the phone number. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Our Maverick Minute with Brent Thiessen is next here in the program.
You're in the program.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time now for our Maverick Minute. The Mavericks on the road. One more home game coming up on April 2nd. Of course, you can get your tickets right now at kcmavericks.com. Parking always free. Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. Fantastic place to check out the hockey. And, of course, playoffs around the corners. Still some work to be done. We'll talk right now to the general manager of the Mavericks, Brent Thiessen, with us here on the Sprint Guest Line. Brent, how are you?
I am great. I'm in sunny Charleston, South Carolina, so I'm doing well.
So is it hockey weather in Charleston, South Carolina right now?
It's definitely not hockey weather. The winter in Kansas City has much more been hockey weather this season. But, you know, it's good to see the sunshine here, and it's a great day for a win.
Yeah, and of course, I don't want to say you need a win as you continue to inch closer to third place overall and to locking up the playoff spot, which is almost inevitable. Is that what you're guarding against right now with the squad? Is that it's so close that maybe you have to guard against a letdown here coming up down the stretch?
Yeah, I think that's well said. You know, we like our position. You know, we our magic number 7, and we've got 9 games left. 8 of them on the road. However, as you mentioned, our last home game on Tuesday, April 2nd. So, you know, we like our chances of being in the playoffs, but we need to be going into the playoffs playing our best hockey and gaining some momentum. So, you know, all these games are important. We need to finish the job. We need to secure that final playoff spot. and go into the playoffs with a lot of momentum.
Tell me, the stop after stop after stop at a different city. A lot of times you guys are coming in, pulling into town for a three-game set or two games at least over 3 days. How difficult is it, or is it better to be able to just be playing one game in each stop?
Well, you know, I think it's tough. It's grueling. It's a tough schedule here these 2 weeks. Eight games, all in different cities. So of course you're traveling in between, and you know that's going to take a toll for sure. But as you said, I mean the positive side of that is you know we've lost both games this week, and the nice thing is you can wake up today and kind of erase that and get a win and get going back on the right track. So. You know, as the games come fast and furious, you just got to put that behind you and come out and give the best effort tonight.
The guys looking at getting better on the road right now, is that something they think they need to do?
Absolutely. You know, I think that we really struggled with that in the early part and kind of middle part of our season. We seemed to have a really good success not too long ago with some big road trips in Utah and Idaho. And I think that, you know, we got to get back to that. We got to find that. And, you know, we got to find a way to come in and as I mentioned, you know, get the points needed to be in the playoffs and then start worrying about playing our best hockey going into the playoffs. So that's really the goal right now. And you know, with this schedule the way it is, it's very easy to be able to kind of do that and wake up and just say, you know what, we've got another game. We've got another game tomorrow in Atlanta. And then, of course, next week is tough with Cincinnati, Toledo, Fort Wayne, and Indy. So, you know, their games are coming at us. They're not slowing down, and we just have to find a way to take them one at a time and really just wake up and give our best effort.
All right, just 5 points behind the Grizzlies. That's where the Mavericks are right now, an attempt to move up to third, but barreling towards a playoff spot. Like Brent said, a few more points. They need to get it done. You can get your tickets for the match on April 2nd. By going to kcmavericks.com. Brent, always great talking to you. We appreciate it, man. Safe travels, and we'll see you when you get back to Silverstein.
I appreciate that, Seren. Have a great weekend.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Baylor hit 16 threes last night. That's well off the NCAA tournament single game record held by what school? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.